Right. So I guess what I'm trying to bring to the table here is we need to look at it in a way that what Magnus is saying, but the reality of it is there's a cost to do business.
Yeah.
And that cost to do business isn't really $200,000 in that cost savings that you're presenting. It's probably more like maybe $40,000. Okay, and they're looking at more closely to the hard savings or the lower labor rate, because even though a lot of machines and everything in that factory may be paid for, they're looking at their overall budget and spend what they're going to get allocated the following year.
Yeah.
And they don't want to lose that.
But doing your best shot at determining cost analysis, in my view, is extremely important. And then you can go into a customer and say, hey, Joe, can we sit down? I ran some numbers. I think this is what makes sense for what we just did. You know, can you go over this with me? And you go down with a customer, you know, the engineer that you're actually working with or whoever the hell you're working with, and get his buy-in. Yeah, those numbers are okay or they're not, and then modify them as such. Okay, let's move over now to page 15.
Go ahead. Sorry. It goes back to documentation about, you know, being technical and on the fly and this and that. And I've worked with, I don't know how many guys know Randy Barnes, but I've worked with him in the field for a couple of days. And he is, you know, one of the top sales guys in SECO. Very knowledgeable, known the company a long time, blah, blah, blah. But he has his laptop, and the amount of information that he gets out of each call and records right then when he's there. So if you're doing something with an engineer, cost savings, if they give you the information and you document it right there, it's hard for him to moonwalk out of it.
Yeah.
You know, if you say, hey, you know, what's your shop rate? $60. Okay.
Yeah, do it right there, yeah.
That's all his information, and at the bottom for comments, this information was supplied to SECO by such and such this date.
Yeah, that's
pretty hard for him to moonwalk out of it.
Right,
like
right. Well, we never want, and that's a good point, but we never want to, you know, use a piece of paper or some document that, you know, gets a customer in a box. We just, oh, did I make a mistake when I was entering that? Okay, I'm sorry. You know, that's the attitude we want to have there. All right, let's move over now to page 15, and we're going to start talking about behaviors. If you've taken any psychology, you've been exposed to Maslow's need hierarchy, which is listed right there. The big thing here in this need hierarchy is the need for status. So now, Mike was saying, hey, I'm not going to be what's not me. Well, you know, you'd be amazed at that. You know the statement, you can catch more bees with honey than you can with vinegar. And I think that's part of it. You know, the idea is be a complimentary, but it has to be honesty-based in terms of building status. So, you know, let me give you an example. Some things you can do. Rich, do you mind if I set my briefcase down here? Is that okay?
I'll go right ahead.
Okay, thanks. And I'm getting kind of tired here. Joe, is it all right if I sit down here for a second? Okay. So now, I could do those two things which I just did, or I could come over here and I could tear up my tent card. This is mine, right? Now, I probably created a little different scenario. You know, over here, I'm asking Rich, is it all right if I set my briefcase down? I asked Darren if I could sit down, or Joe if I could sit down on a chair. I asked permission for some stuff I didn't have to ask permission for. On this case over here, you know, Brian probably feels like that's his because it's got his name on it, it's in front of him and stuff like that. And I kind of invaded his space and just snatched it away and tore it up. So if I can create negative energy by doing something without asking permission, which I did, I could probably create positive energy by asking for permission from something I don't necessarily have to have permission for. May I interrupt you? How many of us just interrupt as opposed to may I interrupt you? You know, all these things have to do with status. And there's a couple things about status that have to do with tables. Now, last night when I came in and Gary was seated there was a table. And the table was actually an odd table. It was kind of like this. It was probably supposed to be along a wall, but it was out in the middle. And he was sitting over here. And I generally don't want to sit on the opposite side of someone because I sat on the opposite side of my divorce attorney and my wife's divorce attorney. And, you know, my old boss that gave me a lot of crap and this and that and so on. So I would prefer to be alongside of him, but the table was an oddly shaped table. But how we sit in a table makes a difference. Let's examine the situation of a restaurant. And the waitress takes us over to one table. And there are four seats at the table. Are all four seats worth the same? Does anybody think they're worth the same, all four?
No.
Okay. Nobody thinks they're worth the same. Okay, you're right. They are not worth the same. Which ones are worth more? Gary, which ones are worth more?
I'd say one and two.
One and four.
Three.
There is absolutely no doubt on this, gentlemen. There is no doubt. Now, let me hear a consensus.